Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Castle.
There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso. In a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
Was it only last year that liberal heads exploded and people were weeping all over the country at those Thanksgiving Day feasts? Oh yeah, it was all about politics. One half of the country was happy and the other half, they were sad. Some needed counseling. They'd go sit in the corner and jabber nonsensically to themselves saying, get rid of the Electoral College, Electoral College, get rid of the Electoral College, Electoral College. Remember? But all that would do is turn America into a real-life Hunger Games scenario in just a few years, with the Midwest starving, the rats taking over everything, and our Great Lakes sucked dry by California. The thing is, when it comes to Thanksgiving, it's bad to bother your guests when you're stuffing them full of turkey and that crap from a can that some people call cranberry. I love it when you see the ridges from the can in the cranberry crap. Make some real cranberry, okay? So let's not talk politics on Thanksgiving. Let's tell jokes. How's this one? Hail Franken. You have anything funny to say? There's plenty to talk about today on the Chicago Way. Jeff Carlin, ace producer of WGN AM Radio, is my partner on this. Also, we've got Peter Bella, the cooking cop. Although on Facebook, in those Mr. Thanksgiving Advice Man posts, Peter Bella tells me he's cooking beef, not turkey, for Thanksgiving. And this makes him a godless commie. I don't care. You're my friend. You don't cook turkey, you're a godless commie. But that's only half of the week. What about the rest? Black Friday and whatever the bleep they're calling Saturday and Sunday. I'm going to take Thursday and Friday off, so there won't be any columns in the Chicago Tribune on Friday or Sunday from me. So what do I want to do? Okay, this is weird. What I want to do is have lunch with my sons and my wife, then let them go shopping, and I'm going to go off, find a quiet bar, and read the Nick Adams stories by Ernest Hemingway. I haven't read them for years. I kind of overdosed on Hemingway when I was a young man in my 20s, stopped reading him, but I think it's time to do it again. It's that kind of cold outside now that I remember from reading those first Nick Adams stories. The wind blows damp and cold, and there's nothing like a good whiskey and some book I haven't read in years and years to make me feel warm. The big two-hearted river, that one about the three-day blow. And there's one more thing about the holiday season that's coming that I want to talk about. First is the Holiday Festival of Lights. That is really a stupid, sucky idea. It's a Christmas parade. Can you call it that? The Holiday Festival of Lights. I don't know what that is. I don't even want to see it. What is it, a laser show? Smoke a bong and watch a laser show? Thank you. No. And the other thing is the decorations in the Tribune Tower lobby. They suck too. When the Tribune owned the Tribune Tower, there would be a great gigantic Christmas tree. I think it was brought from Canada on rail. I mean, it was like 40, 50 feet tall. And then when the company got broken up, they started making a smaller and smaller tree. I think with Sam Zell, we had a silver aluminum tree with blue ornaments. And now he's gone. He doesn't own it. And we don't own it. And they're going to be moving WGN out and the Chicago Tribune out of the Tribune Tower this year. So on the last Christmas I have in this building, what do I see in the lobby? A few dozen white styrofoam sticks with lights on them. Yeah, styrofoam sticks with lights. That's not Christmas. That makes me feel like I'm ordering sushi or a bento box or something.
As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
Temperature.
Chop,
chop,
chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop, chop
So now, with Jeff Carlin, Peter Bella the Cooking Cop, and John Cass, welcome to another edition of the Chicago Way. Okay, you know, like half the week is going to be preparing Thanksgiving food, then the other half is going to be eating it and hiding from your wife and kids when they go shopping, so you don't have to shop, and I'm going to go find a quiet bar, like I said, drink some whiskey, and enjoy my afternoons. But the man we have with us is none other than an expert of Thanksgiving, Peter Bella, the Cooking Cop. You ever see that website? You've seen me, share it on Facebook, yeah. Right? Peter Bella, hello.
Hello, John.
You're a cooking cop, Peter.
And you are the turkey answer man, and we have Jeff the Pie Guy.
That's me.
Jeff the Pie Man, Cooking Cop, and Mr. Thanksgiving Advice Man.
That's right.
I wanted to get them to use that. Because I took that Norman Rockwell picture.
That was great.
It was a bad one, like the bad Rockwell.
The vices?
Yeah, with all the bongs on the tray.
Right. The Jack Daniels.
My wife's like, why did you put bongs? Because I said, wouldn't that be good before Thanksgiving? Anyway, I don't want to get into that. Peter, you've been my friend for many years, and you speak like your voice is the voice of Chicago.
Thank you. I'm from Chicago.
But you just created a big spiritual crisis for Jeff and me.
Uh-oh. Dun, 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 dun.
He's not cooking turkey for Thanksgiving.
Whoa,
he went godless commie. What is wrong with you, man?
My daughter doesn't particularly care for turkey. Her mother can take it or leave it. And as they told me, we never see you eat turkey. But, and being the son of a butcher, I've been carving the turkeys. Carver's privilege. By
right.
The time I'm done carving, I've eaten all the turkey I want to eat. Give me them side dishes.
So he's going to cook side dishes and not turkey.
No, we're going to have a flank steak and maybe a sirloin tip. We're waiting to see how many people we're going to have.
Oh, nice. And what are your side dishes?
We're doing leeks, some kind of braised leeks. We haven't figured out how we're going to dress them yet. Roasted vegetables. She wants to do roasted beets. I found something with roasted beets and grapefruit. Actually, when Jeff contacted me, I just finished reading a magazine on unique dishes. So this morning I put up a post just with about 15 links on it where people can find, there's like 116 side dishes and one. There's a couple from the Chicago Tribune, the preferred newspaper in this building.
Yes, of course.
For now.
For now, until we're out of this building.
They have the Moroccan turkey recipe.
Okay.
Bourbon brine.
Okay. You know, Moroccan turkey. All right. Yeah. Everyone has to get fancy. Now, where do we go to read all these great, like, cooking cop stuff? Where do we go?
TheCookingCop.com.
Say again?
TheCookingCop.com.
Okay. Just so you know it. And if you go there, Jeff Carlin, you'll see all sorts of recipes, hints, and tips. So what, do you have any questions for Mr. Cooking Cop?
Pete, I know you're not doing the turkey this year, but to brine or not to brine?
Brine. Absolutely brine.
Man, what's your recipe or what's your standard brine?
It's similar to what Jan does. Salt, sugar, water.
Vinegar or
some kind of acid. Right. And sometimes it's herbs. Sometimes it's spices. It all depends on what I'm doing. And you just leave it overnight, and then I let the turkey dry
up. Breast side down.
Then I wipe it all up and pop it in the refrigerator. Yeah, pop it in the fridge for about 6 hours, 8 hours.
That's the good, because then he's drying the skin.
Dry out the skin.
Ah,
so it'll get crispy, and then you take, all right, my cousin Tina takes mayonnaise.
What? Yes, you can do that.
Mayonnaise and butter and mix it, puts that in and under the skin and outside.
Oh, okay.
And you lap off the ends of the drumstick.
Right, because you don't want that big knob.
No, it's because, yeah.
What is it, you know, self-freaking now?
The skin shrinks. Yeah. So when you lap off that end, when the skin shrinks back, when you pull that turkey out, you get a pair of needle-nose pliers or heavy-duty kitchen tweezers, and you pull the tendons out of the drumsticks.
Because those long tendons are the pain.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a good idea, Mr. Dang. Cooking Cop there Man.
I stole that from somebody else. So. Well,
that's right. We all steal everything on this cooking.
We steal from the Neanderthals.
I'm a thief.
Right?
Yes.
You're a thief? I had someone ask me, and Macintosh Baker asked the Thanksgiving advice man, Mr. Thanksgiving advice man. She said, brine, dry brine or wet brine? And I got to tell you this, there's no such thing.
Right.
I know, I've heard it.
Yeah.
Dry brine, right, right, guys?
Yeah.
It's like
yes.
And it's salt and it brings moisture
it's
in and
out. It's actually a rub, but right. they, now they call it a dry brine because I think a rub has way more salt in it. And you usually rinse a rub off. So they came up with this dry
right.
brine
and
thing.
Sometimes and they, looks... they use oil and then the salt, and it's like, well, that's not even. How is that brining? I mean, how's it not brining? I mean, it's
right.
Just, it's the. I don't get it.
Well, here's the deal on this, and you're wrong. If you go dry, brine is wet. Brine is the idea of using salt and sugar, and the acid. Either like you could use apple juice. You could use apple juice and apple cider vinegar. You could use red wine vinegar and water or regular white vinegar if you don't have it. Whatever it is, that sugar, acid, salt, etc. What that does is open the cells of the meat and
right.
allow moisture to go inside.
Well, yeah, it allows the water to be displaced by the sugars and the salts and the acids, and they all work in combination. And that then sits in those cells, and then you get the flavor. Orange juice is
science really science guy. The science guy.
Hello, Mr. Wizard.
That's right.
Yeah. You mentioned Cornish hens.
No, because Peter said on Facebook, he said, if I got you, do you need a Foster's for a turkey?
Oh, yeah, the beer can turkey, yeah.
You need a oven. You need like a kettle that was like 3 feet tall for that.
Yeah. But Cornish hens are also a good option for Thanksgiving, and they make a nice presentation.
And you could put them on the
sheet pan. You can roast
no, but if you could do beer canned Cornish hens.
About the size of a Red Bull can.
How about like the size of a Snappy Tom tomato can?
Oh yeah.
Take the Snappy Tom, the spicy. Pour it in a bowl. Add some vodka, celery salt, and what else? Worcestershire. You know.
Yeah.
Do like a
drunken
Bloody
can
Mary.
Drink. Yeah.
And then use the can. Just put a little water in there and use that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Water can chicken.
How many Cornish hens can a man eat?
They're one to 1.5 pounds, and you figure it's a third of them are bones.
How about the Ortolan, guys?
But you have to put a napkin on your face so God doesn't see you.
With the Ortolan?
Yes, that's the tradition.
What?
And you can't get caught because you'll go to jail.
I'm sorry, what now?
You don't know about the Ortolan, Mr. Pie?
I'm sorry.
And they do. They used to put them in pies, actually. It's a small, tiny bird.
French delicacy.
They roast it whole. It's not cleaned. They just roast it whole, and then you eat
like
it whole. You just eat the whole bird, feathers, the bones and all.
What?
Oh, they take the feathers off.
They take the feathers off. But the whole point is that because it's been illegal for many years, you put this big napkin on your face. So,
Francois yeah. Mitterrand, in his last meal before he died, he knew
yes,
he
was going
to die. He had, I think, a half dozen of those. Here's the evil thing but ingenious, evil, cruel, but also food comes first, taste comes first, which is why the French, I think, are the best in the world. They would take the ortolan, the tiny little songbird, and they would blind it. They would gouge its eyes out.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Then, with the eyes gouged out,
Peter's going to be protesting downstairs.
I know. But here's the deal with that. Then the eyes gouged out. The bird didn't know whether it was night and day. And he would constantly eat seeds constantly.
Oh, my God.
So you'd get fat.
Diabolical.
Gets even worse. Then they would take Armagnac, your favorite aperitif, right? Good Armagnac. And they would drown.
That's right.
The ortolan in the Armagnac.
Oh, my God.
And then they would leave it in the Armagnac, I think, for several days or a day or two. You know, pickle it.
Yeah.
And then roast it.
Oh, my God.
Jeff Carlin, what say you?
That's just changed my world. I've never heard of that.
Francois Mitterrand had ortolans before he died. And then when he died, he had his wife and mistress attend his funeral.
And there's a...
Okay. It's not. Those are the old days. We don't even think in those terms now, Al Franken. You know, we don't. Right?
Oh gosh.
Is that too
so
bizarre?
Much for, that,
Is
that too that, bizarre? That'd be like a nice Thanksgiving dinner, right?
Ortolan. Oh, I could just imagine my nieces. I got
Do you serve that? Do you serve that like a hard, like a deviled eggs? You know, in a little carved out little tray, a little divot for each little one, and then you just kind of pass them through.
With devil? You mean like a Ortolan? A devil's egg?
Are they that small? I mean, are they?
They're not that small. They're like about the size of your hand.
All right, it's a little bit larger.
A mouthful.
Yeah, like a canary.
Right. So exactly. So like a you know, a deviled egg. You know, you get the fancy little tray and you go around at a meal.
There's something. What's his name? The guy. He's kind of a half a commie too, but he likes food. And he's on CNN. Smart.
Anthony
ass.
Bourdain.
Anthony Bourdain.
Anthony Bourdain. Yeah.
He ate it and said.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he ate it and said the bones kind of sometimes they go in. Like poke the inside of your mouth and you feel a little blood, your own blood. It's like it makes it even better. It's so gross, right?
I mean, it's just a different world.
One of my best friends and a dedicated listener to this podcast is Nick Kumelis, who runs Butterfield's restaurants out in the suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
Along with his partners, and I'm going to have, and Nick listens to the podcast, he comes to same Thanksgiving, we go to Georgia's, for my sister-in-law for Thanksgiving. I think I'm going to have Nick come up with an Ortolan recipe for his restaurant. You think I don't think he would ever serve it.
Though. There's a place, and I know in Chicago it would probably do it. Band of Bohemia? They do.
Well, that's a great. I haven't eaten there, but it's a great looking place.
It's a great place. Band of Bohemia. So they call it like frontier food almost. Like they try to do very rustic. Like you can order whole animals and they will present it tableside for you to do it days in advance. But you could go and like get an alligator and they would roast an alligator for you or spit roast it.
Is that where Marlon Brando shows up with the flowing, you know, clothes?
Exactly.
What?
But yeah, they. And
right. Isn't that a movie?
It is.
Right.
Matthew
Broderick?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. They'll do a whole boar, they'll do a pig, they'll do a goat. I mean, they'll do the whole thing for you. I mean, obviously, you're partial to the goat, John, I know.
Love it.
But they'll do it, and this sounds like right up their alley. We should see if they'll jump on.
It's illegal. You cannot
Here?
Do it. Yeah.
It's illegal just about everywhere with the Ortolans.
Except probably in Hong Kong.
Yeah, Hong Kong,
you could probably have like Ortolan stores.
Yes.
You know, there, right?
Mm-hmm. Why is it illegal?
It's cruelty to the poor little Ortolan. I would never.
Blinding birds and drowning them?
Yeah.
Drowning
a little bird in Armagnac? Not that, cognac, even.
Right. Well, it's a requirement to blind them and drown them. I thought that was just one style.
Is that not the. No, that's the
that's it.
Whole
oh,
deal, man.
Oh, jeez. It's like shark not, fin soup. What the
what?
Hell?
What is that?
Shark fin soup.
Yeah, that's all. I guess they're making that illegal too.
Yeah, lots
what's
of
illegal about it?
Because they waste the rest of the shark.
Yeah, they lop the fin off,
and then they just throw them back.
It's all cartilage, and it's a delicacy in Asia.
And it's not that good. It's not. I mean, people like a Bourdain or even like Mr. Hell's Kitchen himself, they talk about it. Like it's stupid. It doesn't taste any different than like chicken bones cartilage. It's not.
I have to say, that's a Japanese or Chinese thing?
It's Pacific Island. I mean, it's.
Pacific Island Rim.
I mean, it's very popular in China and parts of Japan, but.
I got to find some good Chinese places. You know, that's a good thing to do, like during this holiday. Find some good, like mm-hmm. something that you had. I know there's one on Archer Minha, I think. Walked in, only Chinese people.
That's
there.
The best.
That's why I'm happy, right?
The Thai restaurant around the corner from my house is it's always full of Thai people.
And what's with pho or pha?
Pho.
Do you like pha?
Yes.
Pho?
Pho. It's actually pho. Yes.
Okay, pho. Do you like
it? I love
that?
It. Yes. It's a meal in a bowl. There's one place I particularly go to, but there's probably about 10 or 15 good places here in the city to get it. Most of them, they make it the way their families did. It's a beef soup.
But they put the beef in
Depending on how you do it, it could take 2 days to make, okay?
Any good soup takes time.
And then they add things depending on, they add tripe, they add beef tendon, some have meatballs, other pieces of meat, and noodles.
And the hot soup cooks it.
Right, and then they put in a big bowl, and then you have condiments. So as you're eating the soup, you can take your pieces of meat out, put some chili peppers on it, whatever, and...
Peter Bella goes to, if you go to thecookingcop.com or on Facebook, you're going to see he goes to lunch with cool people.
Real people.
Real cool people, and they go to cool places for lunch.
I was with Gary a couple weeks ago.
Gary Wiviat, smoke master of what? Smoke? What's it?
Barn and Company.
Barn and Company, yeah.
You
know Gary? Jeff?
No.
Gary Wiviat, he taught me how to barbecue.
Oh, he's a legend then.
Legend. He's the legend.
I walked in a restaurant. He just happened to be there holding court, and it was a little place where cab drivers go to eat. They had goat soup there.
I got a goat place for you, Zaragoza.
I haven't been there yet. I want to get there.
Are any good places around here? Because I feel like I live in a food desert on Michigan Avenue.
You kind of do, because if you around here, you're going to drop a bundle of money.
Yeah.
You're not going to get goat soup up here, pal.
No, I know. But, I mean, is there good pho or pho?
There's a great ramen place on Hubbard and LaSalle.
Really?
Slurping Turtle.
Great name.
Great, yeah. And
how about the Publican? Anybody go there?
I haven't been there yet.
I've been there.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's good. I mean, they've had their issues, but it's good.
What issues? Like oyster issues or something?
No, there was a sexual harassment issue that made big news, but... They've had other.
I mean, care. It's wrong.
Right.
Okay.
I'm just saying everybody else, but they're good. It's German style, so it's partially group seating, family style seating, but then they do have like these unique little booths that have these high wooden walls and like doors on them, so you like close yourself into a booth and it's just you in this little like cubicle with your table and your group of people. That's kind of cool. And then they do really interesting beers, and they do a seafood tower. That is insane. It's like six levels high. Has everything you can imagine on it.
Cold seafood.
And they're also known for their pork rinds.
They're known for their bread, because their commissary supplies quite a few restaurants. The restaurant where my daughter works, they buy bread from the Publican, and there are other places that buy
like
their bread.
good sourdough, like hard
various kind of breads. Yeah, they evidently, they run this big commissary operation besides their restaurants.
Yeah. All right. Well, what happens after? First of all, on Thanksgiving, what do we talk about when we talk about love and Thanksgiving? What do you say, Jeff, to your people?
To my people? What?
To your peeps. You're like, okay.
It took an interesting turn.
Put your cardigan on. Christine's leaning with you. She brings the turkey out. To all the vegetarians, you guys have like some fish turkey looking thing or what?
She eats turkey. I just
cheese turkey.
No, she eats turkey.
Oh, she eats turkey. Okay, so then you do that.
But cheese turkey's not a bad idea either. Now that you mentioned it,
so you bring that out, and then you say, okay, what are we going to talk about? What are you talking about on Thanksgiving?
I don't know. I mean, this year, what do you talk about? And last year, at least we had politics. We had a new world order, if you will, of things. As people were kind of adjusting to what we were going to, the new future ahead. But this year, what can you bring up that isn't be turned controversial or offensive or angry?
I think you just hit everything right on the head. I think it's going to be like a
What
smiling.
Are you talking about, Peter? Because Peter's famous for hating all politicians.
I hate all politicians.
He comes on the Facebook post and he goes, when everyone starts getting really pissy, you know what I mean, and it's tribal. And he's like, I hate all politicians. They're all jamokes. They're all making you dance through their hoops. Don't be fools.
Yes,
anyway,
right? Yeah, I don't – we usually talk about some kind of – I shy away from politics. Too many people have diverse opinions, and you start getting into arguments. You wreck your appetite. You don't want to eat. Right. Somebody starts throwing the dressing around, and the next thing
you cut the turkey.
Yes, right. And you have sharp implements at the table. So we don't
– And wine. So it's just a bad mix.
So – I don't know, whatever comes up. I mean, I'm You know,
but how do you – you have to kind of steer it lightly.
You don't want to talk about – you don't want to say, hey, have you seen a great movie? Because that leads to what actor and what a director and – oh, God.
Was it a good Miramax picture?
That Harvey Weinstein guy.
Did you see the latest – Or you can talk about sports. Like, oh, how about college basketball? Oh, wait, no. Can't do
soccer.
College basketball.
We'll talk about soccer.
Oh, soccer. The Fire are terrible. Oh, that's depressing.
How about, like, anybody see any Rambo?
he's another one.
Another one.
How about that? You can see here Steven Seagal trying. Oh wait, yeah, I can't do
Steven
that.
Steven Seagal or
Dennis Rodman. You can't bring up Dennis Rodman because
why did
talk
he
about,
do it too?
Well, but then it brings you to North Korea, and then North Korea leads you to politics. You can't do that.
So what do you talk about when you talk about love?
Art. Which you talk about art.
Art. Yes.
Art. Which art. Okay, so art is not political. There's no such thing as political art. Guernica.
I got nothing. I don't know what to talk about.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. But I think you talk about old family stories.
Old family stories.
Yeah, there you go.
You remember, like, the time Peter Bella fell into the well outside the village and everyone had to run? Peter Bella fell into the well, mother.
Let's see how long it takes him to drown.
The time Peter Bella drove his bike, little Stingray bike, up the hill, the Nabisco Hill, so he could watch, like, kind of R-rated porn off the double drive-in.
Oh, you remember that, huh?
Oh, yeah, off the double drive-in. That's where people drive up there. My cousins.
Catch body heat.
Something like that. And then ride down in the darkness. Yeah. That's good. You can talk about like Jeff, like Jan Carlin, who's your mom. Right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Can tell embarrassing Jeff stories.
Oh, that's a given on Thanksgiving.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're
fishing for embarrassing Jeff Carlin?
This is my conversation. I'm trying to show you that I can talk about more than just politics and
food.
I mean, my mom loves to tell a story about me losing things. I mean, as a kid, she always talked about how I was the kid who could lose, you know, if I'd lose my own head if it wasn't screwed on. So she'll tell a story about, going off to Colorado to go skiing and a service trip in high school or middle school. And then leaving my jacket on the train because we took an Amtrak train. So I had no jacket for the winter trip because I was an idiot. She likes telling that joke.
So you just you didn't have a jacket? You just wore a shirt?
Yeah, I had sweatshirts. I had to bundle up in sweatshirts.
Nice.
Yeah.
Because that's a good lesson.
Oh, yeah.
Not to run out. Let's go to Fields and get a new jacket. No. Now it's freeze your ass off.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
Good lesson. Mm-hmm. Do you have any embarrassing stories of your childhood?
But I'm not going to.
Me neither.
Come on.
I'm not going to say any.
We don't talk. I got to talk.
No
I got to get in the truck.
I know one guy.
Myself.
All right. I know one guy who might listen to this. And we had a dog named Argo. And Argo used to like to sleep in front of the heater on his back. Okay. With his legs spread out, all right? Now, I'm an old school, you know, I understand about modern things, but one thing I don't do, if I have an excellent hunting dog, I do not do that thing. They're the way God left them, okay? Man, I don't take that thing away. I know I'm probably projecting, but I don't care. It's not happening. Plus, you need those things, whatever those things shall be called, in order to do the job of a dog. It helps them. So Argo would sleep on his back with his legs spread, and we all'd laugh. One day, a guy I know fell asleep, went out, you know, for some reason, I don't know what. He fell asleep in the bathroom right next to the heater, and my Uncle Bill came in, okay? And he was asleep on the floor. This guy, I don't know who. I can't. Can you cut this whole part out?
Nope, it's already on tape.
You're on a roll.
I can.
Here,
I'm starting to blush now. I forget it.
No. So it's this guy.
He just saw him sleep. This guy, another guy, saw this guy sleeping,
and he was like the dog.
Like the dog. So it was just kind of a family joke. But I'm not saying who the guy was. I'm never admitting to it. No.
He didn't wind up like the dog, did he?
He's still embarrassed now. I think if you tell that story, his face will turn as red as mine. Yeah, but that's okay. So that's terrible. Please cut that whole thing.
No, it's already on tape, John.
Okay.
So embarrassing stories. I mean, that's definitely a good tact.
That's a good
thing. That's a good tact for things.
Also,
because everybody's got those universal.
But you have expertise. Like you're a pie man, and you're also a producer. So people want to know. Did you just turn that light on?
No, I think it just flickered.
Okay. Are we on TV or something?
No.
And then, so people want to know from Peter Bella. Do people want to know, like, do they start bugging you for recipes and cooking?
Actually, the past couple days, yes. I've had people come up to me and say, you know, what are you doing for Thanksgiving? And it's not like, you know.
Come on over.
It's or something. Yeah, it's you know, they're fishing for something. And I always help people out and say, you know.
So they want you to come over to cook it?
No. No, you have. No. And people are always looking for something different or unique. So, you know, I try to...
Roast nuts, Ina Garten style with rosemary and a little orange juice and
you know,
maple. How's that?
Cranberry relish instead of cranberry sauce.
What do you mean cranberry sauce?
Well, you know, you make your cranberry sauce is usually cooked.
Right.
You can make a cranberry relish just using your little food. You don't... You just give it a couple pulses with all the ingredients that go into the recipe.
So you don't cook it.
Right.
You use raw cranberries?
Raw cranberries, yeah.
Really?
And some kind of vinegar or something, right?
Yeah, I forgot what the recipe is.
Oh,
but it's citrus. You can put heat in your cranberry sauce. Star anise, some cinnamon, maybe a little cayenne pepper if you want. I mean, you can do
really?
All kinds of good stuff with it.
Yeah. What about cranberry sauce in a can? I mean, like, I'm from the South Side, okay?
Yeah.
You know what our like, Peter and I, what we grew up on, the fancy hors d'oeuvre? Mrs. Grass onion soup.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
With the Ruffles and a scotch and soda, okay?
When we were kids.
Right.
When we were children. So.
But the canned cranberry sauce you have to do. I mean,
is it the cranberry sauce or the gel?
It's no. Well, they call it, air quotes here, cranberry sauce.
But it's really that. Can you see? Should it be in the plate where you can see the ridges?
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's what we were talking about on Facebook, right?
Where
you can see the ridges from the can.
And you need the ridges because the ridges tell you where to slice it, so you make it nice and even.
It's crap.
Absolutely,
crap.
It's a tradition.
Oh no, it's not.
It's like that.
Make real cranberry. Damn it, Jeff.
Green bean casserole.
Oh, you know? Another one.
And that came out of the canned beans and French's onion and whatever.
Mushroom soup. You got to use the cream of
mushroom.
Yeah, you got
to use
mushroom
soup.
Yep. So that's what you toss with the beans, and then you put the fake, the fried fake
And for
onions.
Some people, and I used to go by people's homes where they're like real hardcore cooks, and that's the recipe they used.
The what?
The original one from the
1950s.
You know, the canned beans and the whole bit. Yeah.
Some classics just shouldn't be altered.
Now I'm starting because I've known Peter for quite some time and he's always been a foodie, but in the last few years he's gone into this new realm, like he's gone like he's changed his form. You know what I mean? He's a certain being who's now evolved into a super being of food.
Oh, jeez.
I don't know how to... It's like I
you
used to be
see
able
my
to...
failures.
I used to be... See, that's the mark of the artist, because they only care about the things they fail.
Well, right? That's what they say. You know, Mark Twain say, just write 60 novels that are awful, but you write one good one and you'll be okay. I mean... That's the thing. It's trial and error. I mean, how many pies have I made that I'm like, I forgot to do this? Like
what pie are you making for Thanksgiving?
Oh, I have to do pumpkin and pecan. It's just those are the tradition. I gotta if I don't do it, then my family will have to buy both of those.
Do you smell a pumpkin, Peter? Do you
smell
a pecan pie?
No, I don't smell any pie here.
I don't smell pecan pie.
I don't even see a pecan.
Oh, you know what? How about that guy who always talks about his pies?
That guy, the pie guy.
Pie guy, but yeah, he never
see a
brings pie.
Pie. No, I gave him recipes for pies last year.
Yeah, did he ever make any?
What was that? That real crispy pie crust? I gave him the recipe for that last year. He thought
with
it
the
was
vodka?
Great. What was it? Last
I don't
year?
Remember. Yeah, I don't remember.
Sour cream or something?
Yeah,
or butter
milk? That's what it was. Yeah, he was buttermilking for the dough. Yeah.
Yeah, but I never saw pie.
I mean, I appreciate Pete. I appreciate the the different recipe or the repeat of that help for on the pot crust, but I got my crust cover. I mean, that's like telling Michelangelo to, you know, use watercolor.
Whoa! Can I just reach down and touch you? What is it? God touches Abraham or whatever? Yeah. What's the picture?
Adam or whatever it is.
Adam, yeah. Mm-hmm. Right? Whoa.
Just saying.
Genesis boy. My God, you are at the apex. You are the Alpha Omega crust man. Very good.
At least, you know, I at least when John puts up something good, I try to replicate it. You know.
We can't replicate God, God's miracle, Jeff.
Yeah.
You know, the creation
of
life.
You know, when they do the next chapel or whatever, it's going to be, you know, pictures of pies.
There you go.
All right, so what about leftover, all right, after Thanksgiving? Because we've covered, like, what are you supposed to do? Oh, another thing. I hate these call-in shows on the radio where people call in and they talk about, oh, what can we do to make, you know. I hate those. Don't you, Jeff?
What do you mean? I don't understand.
People call in on the radio at various places. You know, what can we do with the leftover? Yeah. How do you do this? What can we do besides turkey cetrazzini or some of the other stuff?
How's this? Chop the leftover turkey up into tiny little chunks. Make a cranberry Jell-O mold. Throw the crap the turkey into that Jell-O mold crap. Take some Miracle Whip. Put two hooftas, just throw them on top. Salt and pepper, there you go. Enjoy your bleeping self, okay? No, I would not make that. But Jeff is doing the whole, Jeff's got to do the whole, like, radio thing where he has to call chefs, have them on. Right, Jeff? Come on, admit it.
Yeah, well, we were at the United Center this past week, and with Chef Mike Arcimone, who is the executive chef over there, former Marine.
Okay, so he's a tough guy.
He's a badass, and he's a good guy. I've known him for a long time. He is the king of, you know, cooking turkeys, and he talks about brining. He gave us all the great details, and then the leftovers. And he's like, leftovers, like you said, leftovers are up to you. You do leftovers. You figure out what you're going to do. Because
what's so hard about a sandwich?
Exactly.
The question is bread.
I found a tip.
Yes. After we rip on those people who give tips, now we're going to give them.
We're going to give a good sandwich tip for Thanksgiving.
Okay.
It was in a magazine. You want to get really good white bread, like from a bakery. You want
like soft white bread?
Yeah, bakery style. Not like
let them eat cake white bread.
Not like that brand stuff, that squishy stuff. Yeah, you want to get the bakery type.
Okay.
And you want it sliced, it said in the article, as thick as your thumb. So a good hefty slice.
Right. Pan toast it. As thick as your thumb is
wide? I mean, not
wide?
As thick, as high. As.
Oh, okay. So right? About an inch. With me, it's like 3 inches of thumb.
Yeah, yeah. Not like Donald Trump's little thumbs. I couldn't resist that one.
Right. Low-hanging fruit.
Because the bread's the carrier. You pan toast it, butter or mayonnaise, put it on a rack, let it dry out a little bit, and you get your sandwich fixings. And, you know, the little article. It's everything from just, you know, your turkey and gravy to whatever you want to put on it. And
little cranberry.
That's cranberry,
that's where the
dressing,
cranberry comes
gravy,
in.
Whatever it is. The whole point of it is that the bread's thick enough that it'll hold the sandwich.
That it could, because you've toasted it, it can
and
it won't fall apart.
It's got the thick,
apart.
Right, it won't fall apart. So that's my tip for Thanksgiving.
That's a good
leftovers.
Tip.
I'll give you one. Toronto, like the big Toronto loaf.
Yes.
Penny. Whatever it is. It's a big loaf.
That's like that big loaf, right.
The big loaf. That makes great. Toast it, put some turkey on it. It holds up.
Holds
it's
up
gotta hold
well.
Up.
Yeah.
And then take some peas.
Ooh.
Take some peas, put turkey, gravy, salt, and pepper on the toasted bread, and then take fresh-made peas, put them there. And you know what you have? A blue plate special, right?
Yeah.
Which you
only are a order. Diner guy.
It's a diner food, and you order you don't have that on if the place is. You order that in the midweek.
Right. Remember the open face sandwiches?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Open face sandwiches.
Open face sandwich, doused in gravy, and with all that stuff on top.
You know, Jeff is the lovely Christine, but he's He's still, you guys are kind of new, right? I mean, you've been going out for what, only 10 years or what?
Something like that.
Okay, so there's another thing that happens during the holidays. And I'm just thinking, as old guys now, should we, it's the young nieces and nephews, like the boyfriend or the girlfriend, and you're waiting for, like, can you talk to your sister-in-law? Like, is he going to give her the ring or is she not going to, you know? That's a big pressure, is it not?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Is it not, Jeff?
Sure.
How do people deal with that pressure? I don't have that pressure. I got. You can hear that ring. It's on my finger. It never leaves, Jeff Garland. But there's a lot of pressure in this deal.
There is. I mean, you have young sons. You're going to be no young sons. Going there pretty soon.
Oh my God! I don't want to have any grandkids yet.
You're gonna. Well, I'm just
I'm
saying.
Not
you're
ready.
It's the pressure about when are they going to give somebody the ring? Or,
oh yeah, yeah. You know. But first they, you know.
And then everybody's nudging everybody at the table.
I
wink,
know.
Wink, nod, nod, and
we have another thing. One of our one of the nieces is, I think the family's growing. So then we're going to have that talk. Mm. You know what I mean? So here's
the
question.
But that's family stuff. That's
right,
what we
that's
talk
what,
about.
You can talk about stuff.
You can talk about family.
Without getting into a fight.
Right. Absolutely.
But then when do I tell her, Dina, when do I tell her that she has to tie the balloon to the foot, the left foot of the child that she hasn't even given birth to yet? So that he could kick it and become a great soccer player.
Oh, I was wondering where you were going with that. That's good, yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Bizarre Thanksgiving. Oh, okay, here's another thing. Good thing for Thanksgiving. Watch Stranger Things marathons.
Yeah.
Don't watch football. Watch Stranger Things marathon or Rick and Morty marathon. Oh, yeah, Rick and Morty, my favorite show. Oh, yeah, Jeff.
My mind is blown by that.
Your mind is blown that I watch Rick and Morty?
Yeah.
I not only watch Rick and Morty, I'm Rick, dude. You're Morty. Okay? 20-minute adventure podcast. Let's go. In and out. We're done. Okay? We're done. For Peter Boa, Jeff, the cooking cop at thecookingcop.com.
Right.
For Jeff Carlin, producer extraordinaire for the Rokan show with Anna DeVolantes, who still hasn't brought a bleepin' pie.
Hey, I brought a quiche once.
Ooh,
a quiche once,
a quiche.
Like 6 months ago? And John Cass, your humble syndicated columnist with great hair. Have a great Thanksgiving. Don't drink too much. Don't talk about politics. If you're the old uncle, do not hit on the on your nephew's girlfriend. Don't do anything crazy. Enjoy yourselves. Have some drinks. And we'll talk to you soon. Have a great Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.